All right, at this time, very quietly, the kids are dismissed for Asbury Church Kids. And everybody else who's here, grab your Bibles. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And whether you got a printed version, whether you have a digital version, we'd love for you to follow along with us. And we are continuing our series, A Better Tomorrow. We started this at Easter time, and we are going to continue to work through it the next couple weeks. How many know Easter seems like forever ago? You're like, when was Easter? That was the end of March. And now here we are at the end of April. How many have gone, oh my goodness, where has the time gone? How many know time is racing? Man. So, well, in our series, we began talking about how that God, because of what Christ has done for us, we have the hope of a better tomorrow. We've talked about how God is at work in his creation in order to provide some structure so that he might begin to fill our structure and that we might be able to retain the blessing that he brings to us, because our God is pouring out blessing upon us all the time. And then we started talking about that if we're going to experience a better tomorrow begins today when we begin to sow good seed. And we looked at Galatians chapter 6, and we looked at the verse that began by saying, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And so we kind of laid the foundation, because a better tomorrow begins today, and it's impacted by the decisions we make. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about decisions we make in three domains of our lives. Okay, because how many know we all have domains of our lives, and the decisions we make, they matter. The three domains we're going to talk about is in regards to time, in regards to finances, and then in regards to relationships. How many know your decisions regarding your time, your finances, and your relationship really matter in life? Okay, help me out this morning. You guys awake this morning? Okay, how many know it makes it matter? These things help. Okay, so we're going to have fun with God's word this morning as we look into it. Now, I was reflecting. I've been at Asbury Church now for 21 years. Do you know what that makes me? Old. Dude, I got to tell you, I remember some of you when you didn't have wrinkles. I'm not going to say who it is, but it's been interesting, 21 years. This summer, I'm so excited because something's going to happen this summer that's kind of a first. So like 21 years ago, I dedicated a baby to the Lord, and this year, I'm going to be marrying I'm marrying off. Now, I'm doing the ceremony for that baby, right? Just to clarify, right? Like, I'm doing the wedding for a child that I dedicated. How many think that's crazy? Oh, my goodness. And it's been fun watching as kids around here have been getting older and older. Some of them, I remember seeing them day one when they were like, you know, after they were born, seeing them day one. And now they are taller than me. Still not better looking, but at least taller than me, right? And so it's been interesting, 21 years. Man, the times, they just kind of change. And it's not just with the young people, well, like the kids to, you know, teenagers, late teenagers, moving toward adulthood. Some of the people around here I have known for 21 years. And I've just got to say, you've gotten older too. Sorry, Pat. Pat, I remember meeting Pat back in, Pat Bowman. I was talking to the Pat behind you. Pat Bowman, you are still as young as ever. I know it's been 21 years with Pat, and man, I look back and I'm like going, oh my goodness, where has the time gone? And it's been interesting because as I've been pastoring here for 21 years, the conversations have changed. Like, because time changes, and when time changes, conversation changes. And so now I'm having conversations with people as they're processing, you know, difficulty and loss and kind of what's next. And it's just amazing because time doesn't stop. How many wish there were moments when time would just stop? Or maybe at least slow down. And sometimes we just wonder, where has the time gone? And we have those moments where we just wish we had more time. How many of you, your schedule Your schedule, your calendar gets so filled, you're like going, it would be great to have a few extra hours in my week, right? You're just like, oh my goodness. The problem is if we gave you those more hours, you just fill them up anyways and be just as busy, right? But it's crazy. We have all this time, and time keeps moving along. And it's actually one of those things that everybody has in common. It doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter where you're born, doesn't matter how much money you have, whether you have a lot or whether you have a little, doesn't matter your level of education. We all have the same amount of time in a day. And part of this idea of, okay, with the life that we have, how are we going to use our time? You see, a better life requires a proper understanding and use of time. And so the big idea we're going to think around this morning is this: to experience a better tomorrow, we need to manage our time wisely today. Okay, in the house, I know this is true. How many here have moments of procrastination? Come on now. You're like, I'm with you. I am a fellow procrastinator. You're like going, I'll get to that later. And you know what it's like, because how many know sometimes those laters you get to, sometimes you don't get to it later, or when you get to it later, the timeline to deal with it is just like, it's like overwhelming and stressful. And part of this idea is, okay, so what are we doing with our time today? Because what we do with our time today is impacting our tomorrow. Now Moses actually, how many familiar with Moses? You know, Ten Commandments, Moses. He actually wrote a psalm. And actually, if you read Psalm chapter 90 is actually a psalm by Moses. And in it, he says this. I think it's great. He says, our strength may come to 70 years or 80. Now, how many know 70 is the new 60? Come on now. How many know the 80 is the new 70? Right, Bubba? I'm like going, 50 is the new 30. Can I get a witness on that one? Come on now. Pastor Dwayne, he's in the 50 club now, right? But you think about all this time, and Moses is like going, hey, our strength may come to 70 or 80 years. And if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. How many know that no matter how many years we have, there's always stuff that we're going to struggle with and wrestle with? Like, it's just part of life. And then he goes on to say, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. I want you to hear what Moses writes. He says this, our strength may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. Now, how many of my old-time church people here? Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll. You guys are good, right? You're like, where did that come from? That's part of what Moses is trying to teach us. Like this idea that time quickly passes and then it flies away. He goes on to say this, and this is what I love, because I think this is a beautiful prayer. This is a prayer that I've been praying for years. And his prayer was this, because he's recognizing, hey, listen, time comes, it goes, it is moving so fast. And so he says this, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. How many know days is a part of time? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. I'm not sure if you realize this or not, but wisdom is actually connected to our understanding of time. Like our ability, that what wisdom is, it's the recognition, you know what, there is a limited set of time that I get, and so it matters what I choose. It matters what I choose and what I do with the time that I have. This is actually why sometimes with kids, how many know kids can be foolish and they squander time all the time? Let me know this to be true. You look at your kids, you're like, what are you doing? Because kids, actually, children don't really grasp time and don't grasp consequences even between actions today and tomorrow. And so it's kind of interesting. But this whole understanding of what is time, because wisdom is connected with time. If you want to be a wise person, you need to learn to number your days. And so as we think about this idea of time this morning, we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Now, biblical wisdom is this idea, because Ecclesiastes is a book of wisdom, and wisdom is this idea of how do I make right decisions in my today for a better tomorrow? How do I make decisions so that my life might experience the blessing that God has for me? Now, as the preacher, who's going to be the main character, he's got something to tell us about time that's under the sun. If you want a great book of the Bible to read, at least I think I love this book. It's an interesting book to kind of wrestle through. It's the book of Ecclesiastes, because there's wisdom he's trying to impart to people, because he understands what life is like under the sun. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read, I'm going to read for us chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. And someone may want to make a song out of it. But there is a time for everything and a season, turn. Those are all the hippies out there. They got that one. Or the child of hippies, right? Okay, my parents were not hippies. They would probably not. Yeah, anyways, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Once you see this, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. How many love that part? Come on, get your dancing shoes on. Goes on to say, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. Just so you know, cleaning out your fridge is biblical. There is a time to throw some of that stuff away. It's green and growing, folks. You can let it go. But it goes on to say there's a time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. He goes on to ask this question, what do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. And he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Now, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift of God. Okay, so this is a beautiful passage. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to highlight a few ideas from it this morning, and hopefully it gives us an opportunity to kind of wrestle with how do we manage time? Because how many know everybody in this room is managing time? And sometimes in our world, there's not enough time to do the things that we want to do. Sometimes we're so busy. There are other times we're like going, I don't even know what to do. But how do we manage our time? So the first thing I want to note about time, and I've already kind of hinted at it, is that time flies. That time flies. Do you remember when you were a kid and it felt like time took forever? You couldn't wait to grow up. But as you get older, you recognize how quickly it flees. So, you know, part of the reason you know you're over the hill is when everything starts going faster, right? And you're just like going, where's the time going, right? You know, you're over the hill. I'm just teasing. But how quickly time flies. How quickly it goes. Now, the preacher who's writing this, the book of Ecclesiastes, or being talked about Ecclesiastes here, actually his opening move, his opening statements in the book, if you have the NIV, it will say this, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. And everybody said, huh, what? Hey, like, what? Who starts a sermon or a message with meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless? And just so you know, that's one way to understand it. Some translations will say this, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Right? Or if you've watched Fiddler on the Roof, where it says vanity of vanities. Right? Vanity is that idea of those good looks. And you know, how many of you, like, there's that time in your relationship where you want to look good, and then there's that time in the relationship where it doesn't matter. I won't say who that is. I mean, but you know what I'm talking about. Like vanity's changed. You look in the mirror, and you're not the young buck that you once were, or the young lady that you once were, and you're noting the crow's feet and the wrinkles and all those, and your face is sagging, and you inherited a chin from someone or somewhere. And the beauty of youth seems to be gone. Vanity of vanities. Actually, the Hebrew word that's used here is kind of an interesting word. So in Hebrew, there's consonants, and there are no vowels, there's just consonants. And this the word that's used here for meaningless or vanities, this group of consonants together can indicate the idea of vapor or mist or breath. Now, we're all familiar with, like, misty stuff or foggy. You've seen it where you'll go out in the morning and all of a sudden there'll be, like, mist everywhere, but as the sun comes up, it burns it off and it's just gone, okay? The idea is something preacher of Ecclesiastes is saying meaningless, meaningless. He's really saying, hey guys, listen, understand, everything is fleeting. It is disappearing fast. It's like here and then it's gone. And you're just wondering, where did it go? These three Hebrew consonants are actually used for a character's name in the Bible. And we're introduced to him in the first story after the Garden of Eden. It's a story you're familiar with, Cain and Abel. And just so you know, if you read the story, you'll find out that there's meaning that's given to Cain's name. But for Abel's, there's no meaning that's tied to his name. And some people suggest that the reason that is because his name means vapor, mist. He was here for a moment, and he was gone. And how many know that's what life is? You're here for a time, and then you're gone. Okay, where are my people who like to walk through cemeteries? I can't be the only one. And when you're there, what are you looking for? The oldest stone, aren't you? And it's kind of interesting as you look, well, how long did this person live and you'll find that some people have this long arc of life, and even though the dash is about the same size, you look, well, it's from this time to this time, yet other times you'll look and you'll find out, oh my goodness, this life was so incredibly short. And really, all of our lives, in light of eternity, are but vapors and mists. And this is why we need to be mindful, because time flies. And if we're not careful, what will happen is that time, which is one of our most valuable commodities, if we're not careful, it'll flow out of our hands and we will never experience the blessing or beauty that God intended it for our lives. You see, the time we have on earth is limited and it's passing. And we don't like time. We actually create stories that talk about time. How many are familiar with the story Peter Pan? So think about it for a moment. Remember who Peter Pan is? He's the boy who never grows up. Where does he live? In Never Never Land. And one of the features of Never Never Land is that's where all the children live, and they never get old. And we actually live in a culture that's kind of Peter Pan-ish, isn't it? Where we don't really challenge or encourage boys and girls to grow up. We actually extend and perpetuate their youth. And sometimes there are people that even though they have years to their life, they still act like kids. Now, who's the villain in Peter Pan? Captain Hook. And who is Captain Hook? He's actually an old guy who's trying to live in Neverland, right? And who is Captain Hook afraid of? He's not afraid of Peter Pan. He's afraid of the crocodile. And when the crocodile's around, what does Captain Hook hear? Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. And when Captain Hook hears it, he gets so unsettled because what time does is it begins to unsettle us all. Ultimately, Captain Hook gets devoured by time. And how many know there's a part that all of us are like Captain Hook? We wrestle with time because we know it's fleeting. And sometimes we're doing what we can to hold on to what we got. And part of the thing that the writer to Ecclesiastes is saying is he's saying, hey, guys, listen, you need to pay attention to time. Because once it's gone, it's gone. I brought a tape measure with me today. We're going to have some fun. How many ready to have some fun in church? Okay, I'll put it back. All right, I'm going to need help. So, Dwayne, come on up. Who else wants to help me? Jackson! Oh, man, I love this kid. All right, you're going to have this end. I want you to walk that way. All right, and then stop right about there. All right, and then we'll come this way. Jackson, I want you to hold right here. Don't worry, we're going to have more story in a minute. You can face everybody so they can see you. Look, isn't he? Wow, look at these handsome men. All right. This is a tape measure. This is measured to 168 inches, or 14 feet. Okay, question for you. How many hours in a day? Good. How many hours in a week? 168. 24 times 7 is 168. Some of you are like, oh, man, I have to do math in church. Okay, so look, this is basically kind of what your week, if it was a timeline, looks like. And the question is what are you doing with your time? See, sometimes what we do with our time, just so you know, this little increment here is an hour. 1 inch is 1 hour. You'll be in church today for about an inch of this week, right? Now, what's interesting, if you go to a movie, you can watch 2 hours. If it's an epic movie, it's 3. How many know there's times we binge watch? You know what I'm talking about, right? You're like, oh, that's so good, we can't stop now, let's keep going. And it's time. And it's time you never get back. Because time flies. And this is so important because in your life, what is important needs your time. The problem is often we fill our lives with things that aren't important. See, some of you, you're like going, oh my goodness, I just wish I had more time in my week. And what I would suggest to you is you actually need more clarity about the priorities in your week so you can know what to say yes to and what to say no to. Because you get this much time. And are you doing well with the time that God has given you? Okay, so we're going to change our thing here. So from 1 inch, we're going to now go to 1 foot being 1 month. Okay, you ready for this? All right, so I need, Mackenzie, can I get your help? Alana, can I get your help? I need you to go that way. Here, you're going to take this. Until it gets to 80. I want you to go up that way. I want you to stand right here. Okay. All right, keep going. All right, you keep going. You got to walk too. Keep going, keep going, keep going. How we doing? Keep going. Okay, Alana, you're going to stand right here. You're going to shepherd this side right here. All right, you're going to have to go over closer to the speaker. Just so we're not running over people. How we doing? How we doing? He's like... It's the one that goes 8-0. I'm just teasing. I know, you know. I'm just messing with you. Keep going, Dwayne. Holy cow. You guys are like going, dude, I have tons of time. How we doing? Right there? Okay. This is 80 feet. Do you know what that means? Do you know how much each inch is? 1 month. So here's some perspective. Some of you, you've been going through some difficult things, and it has been a month, or two, or three, or four, or five. I want you to note something. It's just a part of your life. It is not your whole life. And the question is, how are you going to choose to live your life? Because time's flying. And the problem is how many know? So, Alana, what number's close to yours? The red one. 28. How many of you wished you had made some better decisions before you're age 28? And you're like going, oh my goodness, I don't get any of that back. How many of us are slow learners? Just so you know, I'll show you where I am on this. Oh my goodness, I'm getting old. Dang. I'm 52 and 2 months. Yeah, 52 and 2 months. Guess what I have left? Not that. I have this. What are you doing with your time? Some of you are like going, you're 52? You're young. I'm not gonna plot some of you on this. Some of you running past it. I'm just kidding. Some of you, you're gonna go long. But the reason I'm doing this is because I want you to understand this is kind of what your life, if it was a timeline, looks like. And there are moments and decisions that you are making on this line that are impacting what it is you're experiencing in life. Some of you, you've done things in your past and you've made decisions, and the ripple of those decisions are being manifest down here. Some of you, you're looking back and you're like going, oh my goodness, I should have started something a long time ago. How many know that you don't get to add to that end of the tape? Right? And the thing, this is what we all know, is that seeds take time to grow because God grows things in our lives through time. That if we're not doing the stuff back here, does the seed have enough time to produce the harvest we desire and want? Because how many know the time to start getting physically strong isn't necessarily up there because you're not going to be able to do it then. The question is, what are you doing with your time? Because time flies. Okay, let's put the tape down. You guys, can we give it up for these kids? These are amazing people. You see, time flies, and what we do with our time matters. What we do with our time matters. And the reality is we're called to sow seeds. And as we talked, you know, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And this is where wisdom comes in. Because wisdom is mindful of time, and so we sow wisely in time in hope of a harvest. And we all know that if we sow too late, we'll never enjoy the fruit of the harvest. Like I say this, so I want you to hear my pastor heart this morning, because I've been pastoring for 21 years at Asbury Church, and I have walked with people for 21 years. This is none of you, but there have been people that have been on the timeline, and we're before their end, and we're like going, hey, you know, maybe we need to start making some decisions here. And they're like, I can't get to it now. And they keep putting it off and putting it off, and then they never experience the harvest that they're longing for. The writers of Ecclesiastes will say this. So not only does time fly and what we do matters, what we do with our time matters, but within it, we also have to determine the season that we're in. As a writer to Ecclesiastes said, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. How many know that our lives go through seasons? And my question for you is, what season are you in? Because seasons change. And because seasons change, some of the stuff that was in a previous season, we may not be able to do or have access to. And sometimes we try and work in a season what has happened in the past, and we can't find the traction that we need. And what we have to do is we have to be mindful of what season are we in. What's your season? What are you going through? What is it? Where is it that you're struggling? What are the things that are going on in your life that you're saying, hey, you know what? I need something. You know, I need God to begin to work something in this. I need some grace. There's some fruit that I'm longing to grow in the season that you're in. And so what season are you in? Because if you are going to manage your time well, you need to recognize the season that you're in. The next thing I want to note is this, is that God is making something beautiful through time. So here's the fun stuff. Now, because I know this, everybody's like going, oh my goodness, because how many of you are living with a little regret right now because you're farther down the tape? And all of a sudden you're like going, this is kind of discouraging, right? Here's the good news. God is making everything beautiful in its time. That what God does is he is working in our lives to make something beautiful. And the good news is this, it doesn't matter where you are on the tape because of the grace of God. He can begin to bring goodness and beauty out of your life from where you are today as you move into the future. That God is making something good. And what we have to do is we have to learn to trust him. Now, on this tape, invariably, there are going to be difficult seasons. And some seasons are going to be an inch long. Some of them are going to be a foot. Some of them, they're going to be like 10 feet. But this is what I know about our God. If you will trust him and follow him, he will bring good out of your life, even through the difficult season, because God wastes nothing. You may have wasted your time. You may have wasted effort and energy. You may think, oh my goodness, I have ruined everything. And God says, listen, I want to work in your life. This is why Romans 8:28 is so important, that God works together for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And God says, listen, it doesn't matter what's behind. I will make something beautiful in your time if you will follow me. That God is a God who brings beauty through time. And what we have to learn to do is we have to learn to walk with and partner with the Spirit of God that's at work in our lives so that we might see his goodness manifest. I want to note something else about the tape. Because the moment you pull the tape out, it gets a little somber. You ever notice? Did you notice it got a little somber in here? Like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Hey, this tape of your life, it is a life that God has given you as a gift, as something to be enjoyed. You see, life is not meant to be all work and drudgery, but life is to be something that we actually find joy and peace and satisfaction and stuff in. I love what he says. Hey, guys, listen, it's God who gives us the ability to you know, enjoy even the work that we do and find satisfaction. That God says, listen, if you will walk with me, I will give you a joy along the way, even though you may go through the ups and the downs. Because it's a gift of God, and I think part of it is, okay, so how do we begin to manage our time? I think part of it is learning to enjoy what God has given us. Because every day is a gift. How many know that today is a gift from God? And as a gift from Him, there ought to be gratitude in it. Because not only has He given us a gift, but He's given us an opportunity to sow a good seed to help us have a better tomorrow. And so what will we choose? The last thing I want to note from this passage, I got lots of ideas, but I've got little time. My sermon is like this tape. And we are not here anymore. So just to review, time flies. What we do with our time matters. We need to determine, or we need to realize or understand the season we're in. We need to understand that God is making everything beautiful through time, and so faith is so important in this journey. We need to enjoy the time that we've been given, but this is my favorite part of this whole passage. Because again, this gets a little heavy. And you need to understand this. We are made for more than time. I want you to hear that. We are made for more than time. The writer to the writer of Ecclesiastes says this: God has set eternity in our hearts. So it's interesting the way that the preacher does this passage is he talks about what life is like under the sun or under heaven. And in our time, we deal with stuff all up and down the line, and we become overwhelmed. And ultimately, we're responsible for what happens on the line. But we're created for more than just the line. And our decisions today, they affect even beyond the line. You see, we've been made for eternity. And I think the wise use of time involves recognizing that, you know, we really are made for eternity, that, you know what, there will be moments where we will feel like we have run out of time and opportunity, and we'll say, oh, no, there's beyond, we're out of time. But I want you to know, we are built for more than time. And how we begin to use our time, or what we do in our time, influences what we will experience in eternity. So we're all familiar with sin. What sin does is it actually creates an eternal separation between us and God. This is our problem as humans, as fallen beings, as sinners, that there is a separation that happens because of sin, not just for a moment on the line, but even beyond the line. And there's nothing that we could do to change that. That's why Jesus came. And when Jesus gave his life to pay the penalty for every sin, he gave the opportunity for every person then to have the hope of a better eternity. An eternity not separated from God, but an eternity with him. Jesus was the one who described, you know what eternity apart from God looks like? It looks like fire and weeping, gnashing of teeth. That there's this, it's awful. The pictures are awful. And what we do with the decisions we make about Jesus influence not just our todays, but ultimately our eternity. He says, listen, I want to give you something that goes far beyond even just the time of your life. God wants you to make something good in our time, but he says, listen, I want you to have a better tomorrow that goes even beyond time. And that is why we put our hope and our trust in Jesus. Because you know what? We don't have to be Captain Hook. We don't have to live in fear of the clock. And even though the clock affects all of us, and it affects the people near to us, the people dear to us, it creates separation. Listen, because of the grace of God, he says, listen, this time, that the stuff that you deal with does not have to bring you fear. So may we be mindful of how we're using our time. Because our time still is our most valuable commodity. And if we're going to experience a better tomorrow, we need to manage our time wisely today. The wisest, the best thing to do is to make the decision to follow Jesus, to experience that forgiveness of sins, the elimination of the separation, so that you have hope that goes even beyond time. Because this is what I have come to know in life. Not everybody has hope beyond time. I've walked with enough families. I have walked with families and death has been, number one, death is just awful to begin with. But it's awful without hope. And ultimately, that's what without Jesus, that's what our eternity is. It's death without hope. Yet what Jesus says, listen, I want to give a hope beyond time. And for us who are followers of Jesus, we recognize that our last breath may be our last moment on the timeline, but it's not our last moment in eternity. That even when we breathe our last breath, our Savior takes us by the hand and leads us into eternity. A place filled with his goodness and grace is a place marked not only by his ultimate salvation, the ultimate rescue, the ultimate redemption, the ultimate restoration, but it's also the hope and the joy of knowing we get reunion. We get to be not only with our Savior, but we get to be together with his family. And when we begin to put those places, these pieces in our life, we put God first and we put our trust in him and understand we get to partner with him through this timeline. Even though it may fly, the decisions we make can begin to change and help transform our lives so that beauty and goodness becomes manifest. So I would just conclude by saying to experience a better tomorrow, we need to manage our time wisely. Let me ask you, how are you managing your time? What are the changes that need to be made in your use of time? I love the idea that everyone is one decision closer to a better tomorrow. Because what we begin to what we decide to do with our time, and we begin to turn the decisions into action, as we begin to plant seeds. Man, I look at my life and I say, boy, I wish there are some things that I wish I would have started a few years ago. And even though I may not be able to change anything behind me, you know what? I've got all of this. Or let me, I'm not mid-30s anymore. I have all of this. And my decision today matters. And no matter where you stand on this line, everything this way matters. And you have a decision to make. What will you do with your time? And I would challenge you in the managing of your time, figure out what's most important in relation to your relationship with God, with your family, with your purpose, and to begin to set those things in place. That way, we can leverage our time for good. Because your most precious commodity is something everybody wants. People want your time. Like, and it's not just the people in your orbit, your friends, your family. If you're on social media, understand they want your time because your time is profitable to them. But not everything you do in time is profitable for you. So how will you use your time? So we're not promised tomorrow, in the sense that all of us procrastinators, I'll get to it later. We're not promised that. But we get to sow a seed today. As you think about your life, what is one area in the management of your time that you're saying, you know what? I need to start doing this. Because as you begin to sow in that direction, God is faithful. He cannot be mocked. Man reaps what he sows. May we be faithful in sowing good seed. And may our prayer reflect that of Moses that says, Lord, teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of wisdom. I want to invite the worship team to come up. All right, so this is how we're going to end. This is going to be fun. How many think it's okay to have fun in church, do something a little different? Okay, good. This is going to be really interesting. So I was told, my mom told me, never ask a couple things. A woman's weight and a person's age. So I'm going to violate one of them. And it's not the weight one. You all say. This is what I want you to do, just for fun. Worship team's just going to play softly. I'm going to pray in a moment. What I want you to do is I want you to find your place on the line. I want everybody to do it. You don't have to leave your baby. You don't have to place Theo down at number one. Not even one. Remember, every foot is a year. And what I want you to do is I want you to take a moment and look behind you. And as you look behind you, maybe there's some things that you kind of regret. You're like, oh my goodness, there's some decisions back there. That God, I need your grace. And this is where we get to whisper our prayer of forgiveness. Lord, would you forgive me? And you know what he does? He forgives us. It may be that you look back, and as you look back, you go, you know, I am so grateful because God has been a part of my journey, and I've seen how the reason I'm where I'm at today is because of God's goodness. And so sometimes it's as you look back, there's forgiveness. Sometimes there's just gratitude. I want you to look downstream and just say, okay, so how much is left? I made it easy for you, Neil. You don't have to go too far. You pick the right place to sit. It's a 100-footer. And if you need more than 80, we'll stretch it out. Okay? But what I want you to do is I want you to look ahead and say, okay, you've looked behind. I want you to look ahead and I want you to go, okay, so what's before me? What are some of the harvests that I know I'm going to need downstream? And then I want you to take a moment to then look down where you're at and just say, okay, so what do I need to begin to do today as I get ready for that? Again, our great hope is this. We're made for more than time. And so even if we don't get it all done, we still get good. But until then, may we be wise stewards of the gift that God has given us. That make sense? Okay, so I want everybody to stand, and I want you to go find your place on the line. This is going to be fun. Some of you are like, and some of you are like, been 28 for too long. All right. Don't stand on the number just in case someone else is somewhere around you. Oh, this is fun. Hey, Neil, what number are you? If you're over 65, you're on that side of Neil. Neil just waved your hand. All right. Holy cow. This is, we are taking pictures. Look how old our church is. All right. Okay. This is really good for the camera. They get to see the back of my head. All right. I want everybody to look down this way. All right. Juan, you're not a year old. Juan, come on this way. I was like, Juan, what is he doing? You're going to stand with the baby, right? All right. So I want everybody. No, Juan, you got to look for your year. What year were you born? No, how old are you? 5'6". Okay, 5'6" is down here. It's not. Yeah. All right, good. All right, good. This is what I want. Look, so this is beautiful. Just so you know, what a beautiful church. We got people all over the line. Okay, as we look down at this, let me look down at this end. You go, I'm a little envious. Nope. Okay, good. Didn't think so. You guys back there, like, good luck, people. We got people. I want everybody to look back and just in your mind, I want you to look back over your own life. Be mindful of those areas like going, oh, Jesus, I need your grace. Forgive. But God, thank you for your goodness that's even brought me to this point. Right? And just take a moment. Just whisper a prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness every step of this way. For God bringing us to even the moment that we're in. God, we say thank you. Thank you that you're the God who doesn't waste anything that's behind us, that God, you have promised that, Lord, you would bring goodness out of the stuff of our life. And so, Lord, everything behind us, we trust to your hands. God, grateful that you are good and you are faithful. All right, I want everybody to look down this way now. Everybody look at Wayne and Corsi. Okay? Like, look where you are on the tape, folks. Okay. Just, you know, my prayer is that everybody runs past the end. Like, I don't mind stretching the tape out for anybody in this room, right? But we've only got so much time in front of us. So what are you going to do with your time today that's going to influence so that you can have a better tomorrow? What are the decisions you need to be making? What are some of the issues that you're like going, hey, you know what, I need to make sure that I'm dealing with this. Because I've only got so much time left. And it's our opportunity to just turn to God and say, God, would you grant us wisdom as we look to the days ahead? God, you know what we need. God, you see our hopes, you see our fears. And God, would you grant us wisdom for the days that are ahead? Take a moment and look down at the number that you're at now or around. And to think, okay, so what do I need to begin doing today for the tomorrow that I'm hoping for? Some of you know that procrastination is not going to get you to the end super well. So what are the decisions that you need to begin to make? What are the decisions? I'm so grateful that God is good, that we are actually created for more than time. But may we make the most of every opportunity that God has given us so that we can use our time wisely for Him. And for all you young people back here, I know it seems like you've got a long way to go, but you're going to get there faster than you realize. It'll surprise you. How many of you, you're like going, holy cow, I'm way down the tape, a little concerned. But you know what? You're going to get there quickly. And the decisions that you're making today are going to impact what's going to happen down this life. If you begin to make wise decisions, this journey is going to be a lot better. Different, easier. How many of you got a little regret back here? You're like, oh, Jesus, help us all. A couple. It's like going, oh my goodness, don't you wish we had a DeLorean could go back in time? But I want you to know that God is using our time to make something beautiful of our lives. And so I want to just speak blessing over you. Jesus, these are your children, and you love them so much. And God, I thank you for the faithfulness that you have shown through the journey. And God, as we recognize the gift of time that you've given us, and Lord, everything that has brought us to this point and the things that are before us, God, would you give us wisdom and clarity for today and the days ahead? Father, would you bless your people? I pray that you would fill them with joy. You would fill them with peace. God, I pray that you would fill them with courage. That, God, we may be the people you've called us to be. Father, I speak blessing. I speak favor over each one. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and give you peace. Now, if you want, you can go look where people's ages are. But you guys have a great week in him.